Thank you and good afternoon. I'm really excited to be here. I've presented at APHA before, but I've never presented at the public health nursing section, so this is actually feeling like home to me. I would like to acknowledge my colleagues because without them, this study would not have been able to be completed. Phoebe Askey, who was a student while I was doing this study, she's graduated and gone off to do bigger and better things, was the research assistant. Shirley Randleman and Brenda Shelton Dunstan were the community consultants that I worked with. I'd like to thank the University of Pennsylvania's University Research Foundation for providing the funding. One of the things that I never really have to work too hard at is convincing people that there's a major public health problem with respect to African Americans and hypertension. Despite numerous interventions to increase blood pressure control in African Americans, it remains a huge public health problem, and racial and ethnic disparities exist in blood pressure control and cardiovascular disease mortality. The prevalence of hypertension for African Americans is 41.4% currently versus 28.1% for whites. And when I first started doing this work a few years ago, the prevalence for African Americans was 33.5%. So it's actually going up. And it was just a little bit lower for whites. That's pretty much stayed the same. African Americans bear a disproportionate burden of cardiovascular morbidity and mortality outcomes associated with hypertension. In a recent report from the American Heart Association, we found that when compared to whites, African Americans have a 1.3 times greater rate of non-fatal stroke, a 1.8 times greater rate of fatal stroke, and a 4.2 times greater rate of end-stage kidney disease. We know that there are a number of factors that are causing the disparities. Diet and exercise are two. But one of the important factors is the poor medication adherence, which is often seen in African Americans. In a number of studies, we found that African Americans may be 1.8 to 3.3 times less adherent than whites. I put together this study under the belief that an individual's beliefs about their hypertension and their medications are important considerations. And you'll see the number of sources. Those are just a glimpse of the work that's already been done with respect to individuals' beliefs about their hypertension. But they are important. Some of the beliefs that have already been identified include patient-provider relationships and the belief with respect to resources. So the study's purpose was to explore behavioral, normative, and control beliefs associated with medication adherence in a group of urban African Americans who were diagnosed with hypertension. We used the theory of planned behavior as a theoretical model. And just briefly, the theory basically states that a person will behave based upon their intent to behave. And those intentions are a function of their behavioral, normative, and control beliefs. We used a qualitative design, and we targeted adults who are age 18 and older, obviously self-identified as African American or Black, diagnosed with high blood pressure, and prescribed at least one antihypertensive. The study setting was a northeastern and urban area, and we conducted three focus groups at two community sites. Now, I have to be honest and say that when I first started doing this study, Phoebe and I plastered the community with flyers and just waited for people to call us. And after about a month, I did receive one phone call. And I always forget that even though I am African American, and I figured that it would be easy to recruit other African Americans, I'm also affiliated with a university that is known for conducting research in certain areas and not coming back with results of the research and so forth. So I'm tied to a university that has not such a good history with poor people and minority people. I met Brenda, who's one of the community consultants here at APHA, probably about 3 years ago. And I don't know, I just had the thought to send her a flyer via email and say, hey, if you know anybody interested in this study, please send them my way. And she sent me an email back and said, Lisa, I can help you with this study. So she got me together with two women who ran community centers. And we had a meeting to talk about my study and to talk about ways that we might recruit people for the study. So I partnered with the community, but it was not quite intuitive at the beginning. So we talked about my study purpose. They reviewed my questions. I was grilled and grilled and grilled. And at the end of the day, they found that I was trustworthy enough. And basically, they did all my recruiting for me. I had the idea that we would recruit at the University of Pennsylvania and do the data collection there. And Shirley and Brenda had two sites that were more familiar with the participants that I was looking for. So we did the focus groups there. I collected demographic data as well and had three main interview questions. The first two are not the focus of this study, but it was to obtain the behavioral and normative beliefs. But the third one is the focus of this presentation. And the question was, what makes it easy or hard for you to take the medicines that you were prescribed? We did thematic analysis. We went through each focus group that was transcribed line by line and began to group together individual codes into themes. And once Phoebe and I came up with some important conclusions, we went back to Shirley and Brenda and a couple of other community members to verify that we had heard what focus group participants were telling us. And so this past April, we presented the community with oral and a written summary of the findings that we had. So we ended up recruiting 40 participants, and you can see here that the mean age was 57, but we had a range of as young as 21 and as old as 82. They were diagnosed an average of 8.1 years with hypertension, and most of our sample were female, but we did have a fair amount of males. I think whereas Dr. Baldwin had a higher income and higher educated sample, I have all the mostly poor and uneducated. 32.5% or 13 of the 40 made $10,000 or less. So we're talking about a really poor sample. And that was a surprising finding for me. I didn't set out specifically to look for poor African Americans, but that's what I ended up with. And again, 13 out of the 40 did not finish high school. With respect to being adherent to their medications, it was self-report. But we had 14 out of the 40 that said no, they were not adherent. The major theme that we came up with as a result of participants' perceived barriers or their control beliefs was the stress associated with everyday living. And the participants described feeling stressed out about having to make ends meet and a number of other things. The first quote, just the everyday business of living makes it hard, was stated by a man from the first focus group, and I think it really set the stage for subsequent focus groups. Another woman described her everyday living as Sometimes I figured if I could just shake my head and this stuff would go away, but it's not that simple. And the third quote highlighting this major theme was, I was in bad shape being a black male and living out of poverty. So what are the stressors that our participants described? So we had three major subcategories associated with this theme. There were others, but we felt that these were the three most prevalent. They talked about having to negotiate limited resources. They talked about negotiating neighborhood violence. And they also talked about negotiating feelings of mistrust of doctors. The first subcategory, negotiating limited resources, I think is quite obvious because it was such a poor sample. But what they described was not so much having to think about where to find the money for their medications, but the stressors or the stress associated with having to allocate their limited resources. So when they described this, they didn't describe solely, I don't have money for my medications. What they described was, I mean it's stress, man, the bills that just keep dropping on you. Another woman talked about, you know, your car broke down. Come on, every time you get up, something just keep, you know, that's what the struggle's about. Just trying to push on and trying to persevere and maintaining some health. So it was the stress associated with having limited financial resources. The second subcategory, negotiating neighborhood violence, the study was done in Philadelphia, and over the past few years, Philadelphia has become known for having a high crime rate, particularly gun violence, and I think it actually was an important theme because you don't really hear about people talking about violence with respect to medication adherence. One participant stated, such as getting on and off the bus, such as people shooting other people in the head on the bus. I mean, these kinds of things are very, very stressful. Another quote highlighting this subcategory, sometimes you can hear two people just arguing and feel stressed out. So again, it's not so much, I think, that it's directly related to adherence as much as the stressors around the neighborhood violence. The third subcategory, negotiating feelings of mistrust of doctors, and often this feeling of mistrust was associated with what participants perceived as racism or discrimination. And I say perceived because, again, I didn't measure it, but it was their thinking of how they were treated. The first quote is particularly powerful with respect to how many of the participants felt when they interacted with healthcare providers. I'm a young black man. This is a white doctor I'm going to. And you know, sometimes things go on in their mind and they can set the motion to where we become reliant on some things that he gives us. And you know, it's the money thing. And like you know, and their worst enemy, to be perfectly honest, is a young black male. I mean, it's a psychological thing with them, and sometimes we get caught up under that. If I had a dollar for every time a participant mentioned the word guinea pig, I guess I wouldn't be rich because it was only 40 participants, but I'd probably have $40. It's bad to say, you know, sometimes people use you as a guinea pig. That was a major theme, feeling like they were being experimented on, even after we know that high blood pressure medications are probably one of the least experimental drugs around. And the third quote, so it's a trust level. I think generally people of color, the trust issue, people of color have that, you know? We all have that trust issue. There were some limitations. Obviously, this was limited to urban and lower socioeconomic income African Americans, and I'm actually quite glad we had another study where the population wasn't in the same socioeconomic status. So we're not trying to generalize these findings to the entire race of African Americans, just a certain population of. And then there were self-reports. So there were always some issues with that. No, but we still think that the study provides some important insight for public health nurses and other healthcare providers who may work with this particular population. The first thing is that participants described feelings of stress associated with financial limitations, violence, and perceived racism and discrimination, leading to the mistrust of doctors. And they also described that these feelings were barriers to their medication adherence. Our study's findings are somewhat supported by other research examining the relationships among perceived stress, racism, discrimination, class, and blood pressure among African Americans. There is literature out there, but those studies mostly focus on the relationship between these factors and blood pressure itself. We kind of extend that, and I say kind of because we didn't test any relationships, but ours looks at how these things might affect medication adherence. We also are adding to the literature by highlighting their descriptions of violence as a perceived barrier to their medication adherence, and I don't think we've quite seen that yet. Future research obviously needs to be conducted to examine and test the relationship among violence, mistrust, and perceived stress and medication adherence. We also feel that the development of interventions to increase medication adherence in African Americans diagnosed with hypertension needs to incorporate some of these perceived barriers, not commonly identified in the literature. And academic researchers who partner with members of the community may be in a better position to identify some of these perceived barriers. I think we're doing questions at the end. And thank you.